Guardian Unlimited.
Coffee, cafes and crowds. The sounds of Covent Garden here in the West End of London on a freezing grey winter morning. What would it have sounded like 200 or 300 years ago, though? Probably much the same. The market's been here since the 17th century, though nowadays it's full of tourists and hasn't sold fruit or veg since the 1960s. It looks pretty much the same, too. The piazza, laid out in the 1630s when the area was built, is basically intact, and looking west, it's not difficult to imagine what 18th century London might have been like. But there's a good reason why we know what 18th century London actually did look like, and he's the reason I'm stood here now. William Hogarth, the greatest British artist of his day, maybe the greatest British artist of all time. Hogarth drew, painted, and engraved the London he knew more precisely than anyone has done before or since, roving its streets and scouring them for detail and for people to put in his pictures. Look at his work and you see the London he saw. It's hucksters, it's hawkers, it's fashionistas, it's politicians, it's con artists. City life, then as now, all caught by Hogarth's eye. A new exhibition at Tate Britain celebrates the work of this most modern of artists. It's one of the biggest Hogarth shows in years, taking in nearly all his paintings, engravings, portraits and cartoons. In a moment, I'll be joined by The Guardian's very own Jonathan Jones and Steve Bell to take a whistle-stop tour around their favourite bits of the show. But for now, where better to start? Right here where Hogarth worked, in the middle of Covent Garden. Jonathan, imagine it's the 18th century. What would this place have looked like? What would the atmosphere have been like here?
It was a lot livelier than it is now, basically. But it was basically a lot seedier in Hogarth's time.
And we can see that, can't we, if we look at one of the pictures of the area that we're actually standing right now. There's a Covent Garden scene.
We can just look at Hogarth's image in his series The Four Times of the Day, which is one of Hogarth's visual narratives of London life. And there's a fantastic scene of mourning in Covent Garden. We're standing right now under the portico of St. Paul's Church in Covent Garden. Hogarth's picture shows that church, but also a teeming morass of bodies, of people who've basically been up all night. They've been up all night drinking and carousing. There's Tom King's Coffee House, which is sort of pretty close to where there's now a Cornish pasty shop.
I know how things have changed. West Cornwall Pasty Company.
Absolutely, in London since the 18th century, I think. But there's Tom King's Coffee House, and there's men actually fighting with swords inside. They've obviously had a bit too much coffee or something else.
And something probably a bit stronger,
yeah.
I suspect.
And what you get is just this amazing sense of London life. And I don't think there's any city in the world where you can look directly, visually, in a really great artist's work, at the details of street life more than 250 years ago.
So tell us a bit about Hogarth, who he was, where he was born. He was from round here, pretty much, wasn't he?
That's right. I mean, Hogarth was born in what's now the city of London, and he grew up in London. His father was an impoverished scholar, a kind of Grub Street hack, and Hogarth, I think, spent part of his childhood actually in debtor's prison, but debt was never far away. London at that time was already becoming the great commercial city it is now. In the 18th century, London became the biggest city that had ever existed anywhere since the fall of the Roman Empire. Politics was unbelievably corrupt. It was openly corrupt. It's this great age of political satire. It's the age of Swift. So Hogarth starts selling political prints by the 1720s, and he finds a natural market. People tend to think of Hogarth as funny. I think one of the things, when you look closely at an exhibition, yes, it's funny, it is. Sometimes it's hilarious, actually, but there's a lot of darkness in Hogarth. I mean, Hogarth's London is, on the one hand, hilarious, on the other hand, grotesque.
And from a surprisingly quiet Covent Garden to a totally packed Tate Britain. It's hot, it's noisy, and we're stood right in the middle of the show. Jonathan, we're looking directly at the same scene we've just been looking at, but instead of an engraving, it's in paint. What's different?
We're looking now at a series of paintings called The Four Times of the Day, which is maybe his most atmospheric paintings of London. I mean, they're lovely pictures, actually. They're all sort of scattered about in different private collections and National Trust houses, and so you don't see them as paintings very often, and I think it's one of the many delights of this exhibition to see these pictures and see actually what a subtle and the gorgeous colours. You see the love in it, I think. In these, you see Hogarth's love of London.
And I think you also see the way in which he's such a fantastic artist. And it's great because we've been joined by Steve Bell, the Guardian's cartoonist. Steve, what does Hogarth seem like to you as an artist yourself?
Well, the wonderful thing about the times of day is, as Jonathan says, they're so atmospheric and gorgeous. They're absolutely gorgeous. And what's fascinating is the way you've got a kind of misty, cold, snowy, slushy morning in the first one, which is morning, rather like today, as it happens. Then the next one, broad daylight, this is noon. And this is apparently by the Huguenot church somewhere in London, with some fancy French Huguenots pouring out. They're looking very dandified. And there's all kinds of incident in it. Then the next one, which is Sadler's Wells, up near the Guardian, in fact.
When it was all fields.
When it was all fields. There's this gorgeous sort of evening light cast over everything. And there's a strange sort of couple with children. The husband of whom is obviously a cuckold, because there's a cow standing behind him with horns projecting as if from his head. But just it's a lovely sort of limpid sky and the sort of sunset. And then the best one of all, to my mind, is night, the final one, which I've never seen the painting before. And it's this street scene, somewhere in St Martin's Lane, but a sort of teeming. But again, it's all misted over. It's very, very terribly sort of vague. But it's done it so naturalistic, it's just marvellous.
You get a really different sense with the prints, don't you? I mean, they look, obviously they're different pieces in a different medium, but Hogarth is one of the first sort of multimedia artists. Can you use that word, Jonathan?
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't the first, but there's something very modern about the way that Hogarth, to say Hogarth is a painter, a printmaker. He also wrote a book, very good book, The Line of Beauty, very interesting sort of theoretical expression.
And this is the book that gives the novel, the Alan Hollinghurst novel,
that's
its title.
It takes its title from The Line of Beauty. So he says beauty is not a straight line, it's a serpentine line. It's that life, in other words, is unpredictable and very tolerant, actually, and very open and very very humorous in the best way.
The thing about engravings and paintings, I think what Hogarth generally did was the painting came first, so he's getting a sense of the picture, the overall mood. That's what he was working out in paint, where he was going to deploy the characters. Then the engravings themselves, because Hogarth was an engraver, that's where his came from, he's particularly good at it. And you look closely at his engravings, which are made obviously based on his paintings. There's a whole, he adds new dimensions by doing the engraving. Of course you lose the colour, but you gain all kinds of detail, all kinds of manic detail that he piles in, because he can do it with his needlepoint engraving that he does.
And when you say engraving, he's literally engraving onto a plate with a needlepoint. I mean, it's very, very fine work.
Well, yeah, we were just talking about that. It actually carved out, you know, directly into the plate with the pressure of the hand, in which case he must have had phenomenally strong wrists. And you look at the amount of very fine lines he does, and the networks of lines as well. They all have a particular quality about them when you look closely at his prints. I brought my magnifying glass for later on.
So we're looking now at the prints of the Rake's Progress. I mean, they're more actually a lot more detailed than the paintings, aren't they?
Yeah, that's the first thing, is that in that smaller space he concentrates so much more incident. Like, if you look at, there's the very final one in Bedlam where the poor old Rake has descended into madness.
It's a sort of terrible scene, isn't it, of the depths to which one man is destroyed.
It's an object of spectacle for the upper-class types who come round to Bedlam and have a look at the inmates just for their own amusement. There he is, bald, mad, on the floor. And it's things like the detail of the wall, the writing on the wall behind. That's just not in the painting. It's obviously stuff that's added as he goes. So when you bought the print, you were getting something extra. You were losing the colour, but you were getting a whole, if you like, a whole new dimension.
We have the magnifying glass, so we can see much more closely. And you really can see how fine the lines are.
Look at the face of the poor old Rake there. It's just, look at that, the way it's sensitively carved out. It's just gorgeous.
And Jonathan, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, there is a kind of, there's more to him than just sort of satire or humour here. I mean, it's this kind of comedy in the richest sense. There's nobility and pathos here.
Absolutely. I think a lot of his images, I think, are very disturbing. They're funny when you look at them not that closely. When you look at them closer, and with obviously the one we're looking at, I mean, Bedlam, Hogarth is really looking into the, you know, nightmare world here. I mean, it's a very incredibly modern thing to be doing. There's a sort of disturbing modern edge to Hogarth that people sometimes miss.
So we've moved into another room. We're standing in front of a much larger picture this time. It's called A Performance of the Indian Emperor, or The Conquest of Mexico by the Spaniards. 1732-5. Jonathan, this is high life rather than low life, isn't it? It's quite a different world.
Yeah, I mean, Hogarth was able to do it all. I mean, he could make paintings, obviously his ability to capture what people are like and his relish for faces and for characters made him a fantastic portraitist. And this is an amazingly ambitious group portrait. It's actually a private performance in an aristocrat's house of a play by Dryden about the conquest of Mexico. But it's being performed by children. But it's obviously a very expensive entertainment in which they've got a real set. And when you look at it, all Hogarth's seriousness and subtlety comes in here as well, because on the one hand he's doing what they call a conversation piece, which is to show a family all together and friends, a lot of people. But on the other hand, there's something very serious about the children. He's a great portraitist of children, by the way. I mean, Hogarth's children are just lovely. And another way in which he was a big influence on artists like Goya. But I mean, the children who are performing this play, they're doing it very seriously. And what seems to be just a simple portrait actually becomes about themes which are rather grave and rather troubling.
I agree with every word of that. It's, and especially the children, the portraits of children. It's just part of his, if you like, humanity. He's this kind of sensual directness, I think, which is what makes him such a sort of winning portraitist. He has a sensitivity for his subjects.
And also, you get a sense of the seriousness of him as a painter, don't you, Jonathan? I mean, people sometimes get a bit sneery about his paintwork, but I mean, here it's beautifully done. Some of the lace and the silks and this amazing, amazing use of the paint and handling of it.
There's a fantastic self-portrait when you come in. There's several self-portraits, but I love the one where he's holding a palette, and the colours on the palette are really, really alive. But also, he obviously loves that, just giving that abstract touch. And he's a very daring artist. Basically, Hogarth is very, very brave. He's very courageous.
Also, I suppose the fact that he was coming from a fairly lowly, you know, craft background. He didn't have a fine art training, if there was such a thing in those days. But he was, so he had the sense of having to prove himself. But he had always this massive ambition. Even in the early, early stuff, you can see he's going places. And sometimes in the early stuff, his technique's not quite up to it, but it's the ambition that's there. His later stuff, and his technique is superb. And the idea that people sort of poo-poo his painting style is nonsensical, because it's, as you can see, it's just fabulous.
And of course, he's also massively interested in politics as well, isn't he, Steve? Yeah. There's another series, we're just crossing the room now. It's called The Election.
Yeah, this is a wonderful series. It's just four scenes from an election, but they're so rich, they're so full of event. The first one is just astonishing. It's called An Election Entertainment. Painted in 1754, there's the various parties, there's sort of rioting, one group coming down the street. They've hurled a brick through the window. You can actually see the brick. It's just clonked this bloke on the head. And it's fabulous. It's an action shot. You can pore over this thing for hours. He's looking at the venality, the corruption of elections as they were then. They were utterly corrupt. And there was bought and sold, which is what's happening in frames 2 and 3. They're bringing up blind, mad people, giving them a free something or other and getting their vote for one side or the other, and then the complete nonsense of it.
To me, it's the world of fairy tales. I mean, of course, all the great fairy tales were written down in the 18th century. I mean, there's a wonderful thing at the end of this and it's obviously got a satirical meaning, and I'm not sure what it is, but the member is being chaired.
So he's just won the election,
yeah,
basically.
He's carried around in a chair. Then there's these pigs running away, and there's a goose flying, and it's got a very sort of magical quality as well as a grotesque, funny quality. And that aspect of his imagination, it's actually really hard to pin down. But I think it's almost as if he really does sort of channel the whole of English popular culture into his art, including nursery rhymes and folklore as well as the visual.
It's just the sweep of them is magnificent, and the atmosphere as well. That's something this show brings across very well, is how beautiful they are.
You quote a lot of fine art in your cut-ins. Can you give us just an example of where you've used Hogarth in your work?
Did some based on the election series. I did one for the last election. I had to do a special sequence, and I did that chairing the member one. Unfortunately, my eyesight's not as good as it was. I had great difficulty finishing off to any degree of detail to do anything like justice to Hogarth's original, because the originals are so fabulous. But I've also actually plundered the prints direct and drawn on top of them, which is terribly wicked thing to do. Of course, they're out of copyright. He wouldn't mind. He's been dead for 250 years. When you do that, you actually see close up how wonderful his lines are. And when you try and put your lines on top, it does make you, gives you pause for thought how crap you are compared to this genius.
And I guess he also stands on that line, that sort of difficult borderline between, you know, what we'd think of as cartoonist, what we think of as artist. Is that sort of almost sort of social division, is that still present today, do you think, Steve?
Oh yeah, very much so. It's sort of all upturned a bit now, but there is still a kind of graphic satire cartoons do tend to get dismissed because it's seen as kid stuff, because it's comics are associated with children.
And he did suffer from it. I mean, he was, given he was so brilliant and so ingenious and so creative, his reputation was besmirched really quite quickly after his death, because the Royal Academy was founded and you had people like Reynolds saying, oh, art is all about classical busts and the seriousness. And you know, Hogarth was sort of marginalised.
And to finish off our tour, we're back at the very beginning of the show, in front of the man himself, Hogarth's famous portrait of himself with his dog, the painter, and his pug. Jonathan, as well as the dog, there's also an artist's palette, isn't there, with the words, the line of beauty. That's kind of what it's all about for Hogarth, isn't it?
That's right. On his palette, he portrays the line of beauty, which is a serpentine line, a curved line, like a long, slender S. And he said that this is the true definition of beauty, not the straight lines of classicism, but the curvy lines of the Rococo and the curvy lines of life as it is lived. And there's also his dog, his sort of pug dog, who's, I guess, an image of his roots in raw, everyday life, very much a street dog, I think, a London dog, a common dog. And his painting is a painting within a painting, and it's resting on top of the three authors he obviously clearly claimed as his inspirations, who are Swift, Gulliver's Travels, you can see that, Shakespeare, see that, because of Shakespeare's comedies and Shakespeare's teeming sense of English life, Falstaff, and also Milton's Paradise Lost, which we might not expect, although in fact there is, in the exhibition, there's a painting that Hogarth did illustrating Sin, Death and the Devil from Paradise Lost. But I think that's an interesting thing, that he does see something sublime in his art. There's that sense of the seriousness of life, which obviously Milton represents.
And Steve, that great British tradition, the writers, the artist, I mean, is he the greatest British artist, do you think?
Certainly, yeah, I think he is, probably. He's English artist, anyway. It's just because his breadth is so great and his influence is so all-pervasive. No, I think he's a wonderful character. I'm not sure I'd like to have met him, but you know. On a dark alley on a dark night.
Jonathan Jones, Steve Bell, thank you both very much indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Hogarth is on at Tate Britain here in London until the 29th of April. It costs £10 to get in, £8 with concessions. And you can find more at the Tate website, tate.org.uk, or indeed at the Guardian website, guardian.co.uk/arts.
Guardian Unlimited.